Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Trudge Report. This is a recovery-based podcast, but don't worry, if you're not sober or you're not ready to be sober, we talk about plenty of other things, including some sports, trending topics, a good bit of nonsense, and my name, and I just screwed that up. Way to go. My name is Sean, and I am your host, and I'm joined by my good friends and fellow trudgers, Bill, Corey, and Greg, coming to you from
Let's do that again. Let's start again.
Perfect. I was going to make fun of him and everything.
I didn't care. Yeah, I didn't care.
I liked it.
Corey's cat. Corey's cat's
my cat. No, we got to keep it.
The cat. Okay, we got to keep it. Okay, sorry. Sorry. I screwed it up. Okay.
We're loving this.
Even keep your part, Janine. That was good.
I don't know what to do with my hands now. Do I just keep going?
Yeah. Keep going.
Keep going.
It's your name, Sean. You can't mess it up, all right?
Coming to you from a new undisclosed location in an air-conditioned room because the garage is just way too effing hot in the middle of summer. We have new episodes of Trudge Report every Tuesday. Catch us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And then later every week, if you really want to see our pretty faces, you can watch us on YouTube and Facebook. But please remember to download on your listening platforms. We want to give a special shout out to our producer, Miss Janine Stella at Stella Mix Podcast Management. And remember, you can find us on all social media handles at Trudge Report Pod. Again, that is at Trudge Report Pod. Gentlemen, good afternoon. New day, new time. Good to be here. How's everybody doing?
Not good. Are you going to go through all of them? Can I say something? Can I say all I'm doing real quick?
Yeah.
Corey, how are you doing, buddy?
Not great. Not great, Sean.
Okay.
I mean, no, everything is fundamentally fine. I did just get puked on by my almost 3-year-old. Lots of puke. Even more.
Wait, time out.
Did I say no? Almost 3-year-old.
Okay.
But I did get puked on.
Officially puked on, almost 3 years old. Got it.
Like I threw on a Dave Matthews shirt for the pod, you know, with the concerts coming up this week, and seconds later I got puked on.
He said,
"Nice."
So with that, I will say that because of our time change, and actually not only because of that, but because my wife got called to work. She's been at work since yesterday. Actually, she is a doula and helping, you know, babies be born. My kids are literally right next to me. So we'll see how this goes. But
well, hello to Lucy and Noah.
Oh. Also, lastly, I guess you guys didn't completely bomb last week without me.
Thank you.
I don't know what this big three shit is. There's nothing big about any of you guys. Also, Greg, one comment I wanted to make. I listened to the whole episode.
The ladies. Wow.
The ladies? All right.
That's not what the ladies say is what I was going to say, but that's fine.
Big enough to get the job done.
So
big enough to get in the way.
I'm gonna sign off.
No,
great. What did you say last week? I listened to all your guys' stuff and it was good. Greg, you mentioned about how your niece, right? Multiple. Mm-hmm. Is there multiple now?
I have a niece and a nephew.
Niece and okay,
that are my sister's kids. Yes,
I think it's called niece-i and nephi.
Yeah,
plural.
You're happy that they didn't know the old you. I'm not happy that I know the new you. All right, that's what I wanted to say to you.
That was good.
Bill, you did fine.
All right.
I think that's
hi to Lucy and Noah and Mrs. Whiskers.
That is Tallulah. Oh yeah, and then to top everything Tallulah. Off today that this happened, Tallulah. My cat is just gonna sit here.
Isn't that like a dip or something? Tallulah.
Well, Tupelo, yeah, something like that. Cholulah. No, that's Cholulah.
Oh, Cholulah.
That's good though. I just got your text messages, Corey, about getting puked on. I just saw them.
Oh well, Sean, I might be a couple minutes late then.
I think I was a couple minutes late.
You were later than me, and you didn't get puked on.
I did not.
That I know.
God, this is off to a raucous good start, boys.
Yeah, it's fine.
Miss Janine thinks you have a cute cat.
Oh, is that right?
It is a cute cat. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I got another one too, but she's over there. She's a fat cat.
Let's say hello to the other boys real quick. Greg, how are you doing up in the Midwest, Ohio?
I'm very good. Very good. Thank you for asking. I am more bricked up than the first time Corey saw WWE's Lita in about 2004. He was talking about that earlier, so said that might have been his first, but I'm certainly more bricked up than that. Just got done having a little family cookout. I mean, look, if you're you know, at 20 in between the ages of 20 and 40, you should understand that reference. Absolutely.
I was in love with her.
We just wrapped up a little family Saturday cookout. It's a beautiful day up here in Cleveland. I do have a little bit of the meat sweats going on, so you'll have to excuse me. And I am a couple ginger beers deep, so I'm ready to party. Okay.
Is that allowed? What's a ginger beer?
It's safe. You're fine.
It's like a craft ginger ale, but it's delicious. Okay, is what
it's like. It's like an $8 ginger ale at a restaurant compared to the regular $3.49.
That's right. So we're all about fancy class up here. Yep.
Yeah.
No, don't show your ass, dude. God damn it. Sorry.
Show it, Mr. Whiskers.
What's up, Bill?
I'm great. So it's great. Great start here. I love it. But Greg and Corey, Lita, I mean, come on. I only like one woman on this earth, but if I was forced at gunpoint to pick a WWE woman, she'd probably be like third or fourth on the list, somewhere between Trish Stratus and Chyna. I mean, I don't get that.
Chyna?
Really? Yeah, I mean, she'd be right above with that square jaw and that weird walk she does.
You're Stacy Keebler girl, huh?
She definitely was shooting roids in the butt, that's for sure. So anyway, though, my week was good as well. Corey, we thought you were late because you were eating DiGiorno in the hallway. We're just glad that you were not crying in the hallway or closet eating a DiGiorno. Nope. Good work there. Good. Thanks for
gun show. Would be happy.
I've stopped that. I got clean.
We're all happy that Sean made it out of the garage into the AC. That's a beautiful thing. My week, we went kayaking this week. That was fun. Kayaking is fun, but it's work, guys. It's not just get out there and spin around and come on out. You're out there.
Did you go with your wife?
I did, and my son.
Is your wife proficient at either steering or working the back of the boat?
First of all, it's kayak, so it's one person per.
I'm sorry.
Not a canoe, Greg.
However, she's like freaking Pocahontas on that thing. And she's like, it's like this. You got to spin the minute. You know what I mean? And I'm like, and I'm not efficient. So I'm like sucking wind. My 11-year-old's passing me up. But it was fun, man. We went to Peanut Island down south. Beautiful down there for sure. And we swam around in there. Had some good time. We were on our way there. It was Mother's Day. We're halfway through the ocean. And I thought I was at, we're halfway there. We're in the ocean. I thought we were at like a Dirty Heads concert because it just smelled like ganja so bad. Everybody on that beach was smoking. I'm like, geez.
Wait till next Saturday, baby.
Dude, they were going crazy, man. I'm like, this is wild. It's Mother's Day, guys. Settle down. You know what I mean? So that was fun. That's it for me, man. I had a good week, though. You know, glad to be here.
Good. Yeah, it is good to be here. Everything's good on my end. I got a lot going on. We've been a busy few weeks, but it's been a wonderful few weeks. I got new sod laid in my yard last week, so I've been a watering fool out there. I was actually, technically, that's where I was, why I was a few minutes late getting on. I was out there setting the sprinklers up for the evening/nighttime drench, but that's going good. Yep. It's looking good. I'm proud of it. My youngest had preschool graduation last night. It was definitely too long. I think they probably asked too much of the preschoolers, but they really tried to put on like an awesome graduation, and it was absolutely adorable. Got some great pictures, went out to dinner, had some ice cream in the downtown area of our undisclosed location right on the water. It was very nice last night, and then spent the day with a house full of 7-year-olds and at the pool for most of the day, and then just watching the PGA Championship this afternoon and got some plans tonight. So nice little Saturday. I'm glad they freed my boy Scotty. We're monitoring that situation. I'm pretty sure the city of Louisville, and because that's how you got to say it, guys. It's not Louisville.
Louisville.
It's not Louisville. Louisville. Say it
like
it's
you're from
Louisville.
Ocala.
Louisville. And the state of Kentucky are not going to let that man get charged with probably anything more than a traffic ticket, because that would be such an effing stain on their city and this big championship and all the tourism stuff. And by all accounts, it looks like it was a perfect storm.
So he did or did not assault a police officer?
Listen, guys, I'm not ready to litigate that yet, but all of the inside information I got, it sounds like it was the other way around, actually, boys. Sounds like the Louisville Police Department was a little overzealous there. And
a little touchy-feely.
Scotty did absolutely nothing. He actually followed the exact rules that he was supposed to getting into the grounds of the PGA Championship. We're monitoring, though, because the truth is, who really knows, but we're monitoring. But in all sincerity, it sounds like he didn't really do anything wrong.
My buddy said they had a video of him, of the incident. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've seen multiple videos, and it's not, again, we could just do the episode on that. I got enough information on it, but no, we'll save that for another time. I don't think we really.
Well, it was pro Scotty, was how he was saying it. He did.
Yeah, know. Yeah. It was. It really and truly, if he did mess up, it was complete accident. It was no malintent on his part. Really and truly,
we'll let a jury decide that.
I'm pretty sure it's probably all going to get dropped.
Drop it.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can. I think.
How's that look at the breakfast table?
I think. They're going to drop it. I think the breakfast table we're talking about is the city of Louisville and how bad they don't want this on their. That was the Louisville Police Department was the whole. I'm going to mess her name up, but the young lady that got wrongly killed just a couple years
ago. Breonna
Taylor.
They don't
have the best reputation amongst other things. So, anyways, right, Corey, we're glad you're back.
Down in that rabbit hole.
Yeah, Corey, we're glad you're back.
Yeah, he puked again. So. This is awesome, guys. Let's do it at Saturday at 5 again.
Hey,
bring him over here. Let us talk to him.
If you need to,
I know. I'm
get fine. Off. We completely understand.
Yeah. It was only a little bit, and he's got my phone, and he's sitting in his chair now, and we'll see.
Yep.
No, Bill. It's just the time of day. I probably should turn a light. I had the blinds open behind me. For everybody that can't see, Bill just said your light went out.
I wouldn't have known that. Sunsets once a day. No, who would have thought?
I had the blinds open in the room, but it seemed too bright, so I closed them, and I think the clouds just went by. So I'll get up in a second.
Sean, you lost your spark. That's what it was.
Oh, because the light went out. Got it. Okay.
You don't remember that, do you?
Double entendre.
I don't remember that.
All right. We'll have Greg tell you at a later date, probably.
Okay. We're going to get right into it. So we're going on the same type of vein of last week, the kind of conspiracy, kind of corporate something or other, espionage, all kinds of greed stuff. We're going to stick right on that topic. I'm going to go right into it. Today, we're going to be talking about Monsanto. Monsanto is the agricultural company. They have their handful and a lot of different things, and I'm going to get into that. But I'm going to get right into it. This is my week. We've kind of been doing something where each person's picking a topic and bringing it to the table each week, and this is the third week we've been doing it. Corey and Greg already went. I'm doing it this week. Bill's got the next week coming up, we're going to get right into it. So I'm going to just go right into it and kind of give a rundown and a brief history and a few things that's going on currently with it. And then we'll open it up probably to Bill and or Greg. And if Corey did any research, he's more than welcome to chime in, or he can just ask questions and yell obscenities. So
I will yell.
Okay. So one of the big things with Monsanto, let me save that. I'm going to get into the history first. So Monsanto, originally founded by John Francis Queeny as a chemical company in 1901 in St. Louis, Missouri, had their roots in pharmaceuticals, and he named it after his wife, Olga. What a name, Olga Monsanto. The first big chemical that they produced was saccharin. Saccharin is an artificial, saccharin was an artificial sweetener used in many different products. They were being shipped in from Germany and other parts of Europe. So when World War I started, all shipments from Europe stopped, leaving a void in the U.S., which Monsanto gladly filled. They stepped in and began making just boatloads of money. So everything that was coming over from Europe, when it stopped, Monsanto stepped in and started making a lot of those different products and just started raking in the profits. In 1919, it acquired a chemical company from Wales. I'm going to probably pronounce this wrong, but Graesser, Graesser. I would assume that's somewhat how you say it. This company made aspirin and then liquid silicone rubber. So again, two huge products that started coming into play at that time. In the 1920s, they invented polychlorinated biphenyl, or PCB. It's a proven carcinogen and pollutant. It was used in coolants and various electrical devices prior to the 1970s, power transformers and capacitors. At this time, Monsanto was the only U.S. producer of these PCBs. So you can imagine it was used in so many different, I mean, literally like all your streetlights and all your transformers up and down your streets in most of America were used. It was, these things were being used in at the time. Eventually, it was banned in the United States in this 1979, but not before it was discovered and proven that Monsanto was well aware that the chemical was highly toxic and caused liver damage and other respiratory illnesses. Monsanto kept this hidden and destroyed many of the documents. So this, so their, you know, wrongdoing goes back at least to the 1970s. I would imagine probably even, you know, way further than that. When World War II started, Monsanto was the United States military premier chemical supplier. So they were the main one, and most valuable product at that time was styrene, which is a common compound crucial to the manufacture of rubber, right? So again, a lot of the stuff the military was using, they invented a major compound found in polonium-based neutron initiators, which are found in the atomic bomb, right? So one of the mainspring, the neutron initiator that's used in the atomic bomb was the same one dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Monsanto invented that, right? So kind of an Oppenheimer type deal going on here. Shortly after this, they began to get into the agricultural business and invented dichloro, diphenyl, trichloroethane. Damn, I nailed it. Short for DDT. Corey would like that, DDT, which is a pesticide. They also invented Agent Orange. So the whole Agent Orange thing was a U.S.-based, like all of our United States military that either got sick or died of Agent Orange. Guess what? We created it, right?
Isn't DDT illegal now?
Yes, I believe so. I think I have it in my notes down further, but yeah, I'm almost positive.
I had my hands on some like 12 years ago. That's all I'll say.
All right. Okay.
All right, nice.
All right, sorry,
it was banned.
You might want to get that checked out
if you actually legitimately had your hands on it.
That's why they're so small.
That's why they're so small. The defects. Yeah, they used to be really big. That was pretty funny, Corey.
It was banned in 1972.
Thank you.
That'll do it.
So again, Agent Orange got our own military sick. Eventually, a lot of them died because of it. Not only that, though, but this was used during the Vietnam War, and this was effective at destroying crops that the Viet Cong was trying to produce. So our enemies, I understand that, but it also caused like 500,000 birth defects and deformations in Vietnamese children, as well as, like I said, giving cancer and other medical problems to over 3 million U.S. troops, many of which eventually died or had major health problems, which we see the commercials, you know, that whole, that like that, the tort litigation stuff, still see them. The 1970s saw many class action suits against Monsanto for their use of harmful chemicals and pesticides, all of which was proven that they were aware of and they just kept using them. In 1983, they began to genetically modify plants. So this is where most people would kind of know Monsanto from today. So the use of GMOs called genetically modified organisms. This is kind of where the current day stuff gets into play, but the rest of it's, you know, it's important for the history. This was led by a man named Robert Fraley. It is important to understand that the use of GMOs is not a bad thing in and of itself if they're used properly and in the correct manner. Monsanto did not do this. Their greed won out. They could make a lot of money. There were ways to genetically modify a crop without making it harmful to the people that consume them or the earth that it grows on. An example would be shortening the plant's seed-to-seed period, meaning the germination process was rapidly quickened, making the conditions more favorable and more often for things to grow. So essentially, you can do GMOs in a somewhat healthy, responsible way if you space the crops out far enough. But what like Monsanto companies and their farms and their agricultural stuff was doing is they were basically putting them right on top of each other, and they were producing like, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but like three or four times as many crops and as many, as much supplies and as much items as the normal, like responsible, sustainable system would have been. In the 1980s, they invented glyphosate, which is the main ingredient and eventually became known as the pesticide Roundup, right? This is another one of their big things. The reason the invention of Roundup was so important was because the GMO crops and seeds that Monsanto had invented were resistant to chemicals in Roundup and can survive being sprayed by them. So again, they have this chemical that they invent that they can spray on these crops so that the pesticides and all that stuff don't eat it and destroy it. Meanwhile, like it's highly, highly toxic. And now people are ingesting these crops that have been sprayed with this pesticide. Bill, do you want to say something?
No, yeah. It was started on corn and it became Roundup Ready, which just to say was gene modified. So then after that, they also didn't have to pay people to spray all these by hand. They could have airplanes just dump tons onto the corn because everything else would die. But yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is where it really like starts to get murky with the agricultural stuff. This allowed Monsanto to plant crops much closer together, producing a much higher yield than traditional farming would, where you had to place crops further apart, like I mentioned before, so the weeds did not overtake the crops. So essentially, they could just pile these crops on top of each other and plant them right next to each other, and the Roundup would just take care of all the weeds and all the bugs and everything trying to destroy them. So picture this, 85% or more of the corn and other crops that are being grown in the United States are shipped to grocery stores for consumption by the people, has been sprayed with a toxic chemical, and people and other animals are ingesting these food items. So now we're not just getting into the crops going to your local grocery store that are being sprayed with this stuff, but like animals, cows, you know, pigs, whatever the case may be, are eating these foods and ingesting these harmful chemicals. So now it's in our meats, it's in our, you know, all kinds of different stuff, in our milk, in our dairy products, and all that stuff. Up until the year 2000, Monsanto was the sole producer of Roundup. Since the 2000s, they have invented more pesticides and herbicides and have spent more than $1.5 billion in doing this. Monsanto had patents on all of their chemicals and seeds and GMO crops. Farmers that use Monsanto seeds were subject to very strict rules. So here kind of comes, and Bill might have done a little more research on this too, but here kind of comes like the lawsuit portion of this, and like the little the mom and pop or the generational farmer that's getting screwed over by this. So these farmers were not allowed to replant the seeds, sell the seeds, or share the seeds with anyone else unless they were under contract with Monsanto. So an example, literally, if you had a Monsanto farm here, and I have my hands up for those who listen and can't see, but if you have a Monsanto farm on one side of the street and a regular family-owned, non-Monsanto, trying to do it their own way, been in their family for 200 years farm on the other side of the street, and the wind literally blows a Monsanto seed onto their field and it starts to grow, Monsanto can now sue that little mom-and-pop farmer because of whatever the case may be. Unless you were authorized to use their seeds and do it exactly specifically the way they allow you to, you could be sued and get taken for everything. And a lot of people have lost their livelihoods, their income, their farms. There have been a couple victories, the David versus Goliath type things, but it just comes down to a classic game of, you know, who has the most money, really and truly, who has the most money. In 1997, they tried to unincorporate their chemical company into a separate company called Solutia. Solutia filed for bankruptcy a few years later. That was just in an effort to kind of like start new and have a new name and a new branding and all that stuff and get out of some of the controversy they had been in. In 2016, Monsanto had $15 billion of revenue, and more than half of that came from the sales of Roundup pesticide and the GMO resistant seeds. So like $7.5 or more billion of that in 2016, which was not that long ago, was all from GMO stuff and Roundup. In September of 2016, Monsanto agreed to a definitive merger agreement with the German-based company Bayer Aspirin. for $66 billion, which is outrageous, or $128 a share. This would create the world's biggest supplier of crop protection products and seed, dominating more than 30% of the worldwide market. The merger was complete in 2018. I do know that since that time, Bayer is, like, they've just been in court pretty much since that time. I think there was just recently a big court battle that the little guy won. They awarded Bayer or Monsanto, whatever, to pay like 80 something billion dollars. But then I think a judge came down later and cut that kind of in half. So I'm not exactly sure how that stands. Here's one thing though, I'll say is, and I'll close it up with this, and Bill Gates, think of him what you want, possibly not a great guy. 2010, he bought 500,000 shares of stock in Monsanto. So like, you can take that, you can look at that two ways, right? He's a businessman, a very smart businessman, probably made a boatload of money, or you can say that he, you know, he 100% knew kind of what was coming down the road. And there's a whole lot of, we could go down and down and down, and I'm not going to, I'm going to turn it over to Bill for a minute if he has anything he wants to say. But I find this stuff fascinating just because of like truly how much of the worldwide market, or at least just in the United States, you go into any grocery store, man, and probably, like I said, 85% or more is all genetically modified organisms. And maybe on the back end of this or another pod, we can talk about some healthy eating habits and ways around that to make sure we're not, but it's almost impossible to avoid it entirely.
Let's take a quick break.
This week's episode is brought to you by Kohler Construction LLC, your leading roof, window, and siding expert in the greater Twin Cities area. That's going to be Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, for those of you that didn't excel in geography. So, if those 12 feet of snow have finally caused your roof to cave in, if you're still rocking single-pane windows that rattle every time the wind blows, if the eclipse burned a moon-sized hole in the side of your house, or if you just need a great value Henry Cavill lookalike to show up at your home and talk to you about golf, baseball, or general construction, then call Corey at 612-471-3248 and let Kohler Construction take care of business.
Now back to the guys.
You covered a lot of what I was going to say too, for sure. First, yeah, like you were just saying though, they find ways around labeling things organic now. If you think, well, 95%, I see a lot of items listed as organic in the store that are not organic, genetically engineered. Even if you look even on cereal, there's like these products were bioengineered, it's lab created. Everybody's favorite boy there over there, Bill Gates, the old pregnant, vaccine pushing, fake meat eating, Microsoft owned. We don't know if he's mid-transition dude. He's buying all this farmland, and now he wants everyone to eat genetically modified meat. So it starts with these genetically modified fruits and vegetables for the idea, which everyone can get on board of, you know, let's try to mass produce and help hunger and starvation and these things. They start out altruistic. Like Sean put, though, you know, it quickly becomes a money game. You know, you said the court appealed and lowered that payment. That's another money thing. They will continue to appeal, sue the top lawyers. And if you don't play ball with them, you're not getting their seeds. And the problem is when somebody can, of the beginning of this, is when a company can genetically modify nature and patent that nature, right, and monopolize the industry and then control it, we're all at their mercy at that point. You know what I mean? Because if you're a farmer, why wouldn't you use these products, you know, if you could make a boatload more money? So I know for a fact that there was a recent report on Aldi listing a lot of things that as in organic that are not. I mean, do your own research on that. There are certain sticker codes on fruits and vegetables that you can read, certain lettering like BE, bioengineered, things like that, that you can educate yourself on to try to avoid these things. But it is a tedious task to do, especially like I got kids and stuff like that. Like it's really hard. Then they don't even want to eat the good crap anyway. So it is very hard to not fall for this stuff. you know, the genetically modified meat too has some things in it that I definitely it kind of reminds me, if anyone's ever seen the movie Idiocracy, this kind of reminds me of Brondo. They say it has electrolytes, but it has all these other poisons in it, and everyone's stupid in the movie. That's the theme of the movie. It does kind of remind me of that. The other problem that I see in it was the Monsanto Protection Act passed under the Obama administration, which made it illegal to actually sue any of these companies for their patents and things like that. or any of their patents. If you look into that, like, to me, that was a real like hinge point of where we took a really bad wrong turn on this stuff, because now there's no way to fight against this stuff really. So yeah, there's a whole lot that can be said. Bayer, you know, you mentioned that they bought aspirin. Well, then aspirin, Bayer bought them. Bayer owned the all the companies that did, back to last week, did all the gases. They produced all the gases for World War One, World War Two. The specific gas that was used in the Holocaust was all produced by Bayer. And the guy I mentioned last week, Fritz, was when he got out of jail, was put as a board member of Bayer. So these guys are all, there's a, like my man George Carlin said, there's a big club. We're not in it. We like to raise awareness to this stuff. I mean, it's not like there's a real assault plan against these things, but together, if we can inform ourselves, I think we can start to broadcast this stuff more. So yeah, man, it's a broad topic, but thank you for sharing, Sean. That was great. And back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a couple things. First off, I want to say Idiocracy, great movie. If you haven't seen it, you really don't even need to see it. You can just look outside at the rest of our society right now, because it's literally what we're all turning into. It's crazy, but great movie. I like a lot of what you guys said. And again, this is something we could talk about to death. How I really felt like when I was doing research on this stuff, and how it kind of like correlates to me and certainly on a more personal level, I think for everybody, is just, you know, like, what are we putting in our bodies and what's it doing to our bodies? Right. So first off, I do want to say, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but during my research, I found out that broccoli is a genetically modified organism. Like, broccoli itself does not grow out in the wild just naturally.
I believe it. Did you ever see a real banana too? Like a not genetically modified, it has seeds and it's like this big.
So, I mean, there's at least something good. I love broccoli, dude. I'll make love to a plate of broccoli. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want anybody
picks to take it didn't happen.
you'll get the picks.
I think spinach too, Greg, is one of the most
spinach fucks.
I know, but it's like the chemicals in it like are off the chart.
Well, here's the deal. I bought a bag of spinach like a month ago and it's in my fridge and it's still good.
I've produced more spinach. The bag is bigger now.
It would somehow grow more spinach. I don't get it. but what I found pretty interesting about this whole deal is how the GMOs correlate with obesity, right? Which is a huge problem in the United States, right? As a matter of fact, obesity in adults, as of a 2016 study, in the United States, we are the highest. It's dark maroon on this map I have, and it's 40% and above. Right now, comparatively speaking, countries like Japan and China, India, those kind of countries are in between the 0 to 7% range for obesity. Right, and while the statistics per se on like death rate, are probably a little bit skewed, right? Because, you know, a lot of people that have, you know, obesity related illnesses are dying from other things, right? They're dying from, you know, cancer, they're dying from, respiratory issues. They're dying from diabetes. There's a lot of other stuff. So it's not like you can just point your finger and just blanket, throw it over and be like, oh, that was COVID. Right. So, you know, it kind of works the same way. I read a little bit of a study that was done in 2020 by a young lady, a PhD out of George Washington University. And she says, I quote, when compared comparing the U.S. diet to the diet of those who live in blue zones, so areas that don't allow GMOs, you find populations in those areas living to age 100 without chronic diseases. And the differences between a society like that and ours are the differences are stark. She said many of the food trends we reviewed are tied directly to a fast-paced U.S. lifestyle that contributes to the obesity epidemic we're now facing. The rising obesity epidemic in the U.S. as well as related chronic diseases are correlated with a rise in ultra-processed food consumption, GMOs. The foods most associated with weight gain include potato chips, sugar-sweetened beverages, sweets and desserts, refined grains, red meats, processed meats, while lower weight gain or even weight loss is associated with grains, fruits, and vegetables. Other food trends outlined in the report include insufficient dietary fiber intake, a dramatic increase in food additives like emulsifiers and gums, and a higher prevalence of obesity, particularly in women. Now, when they were doing trials with mice and using emulsifiers found in processed foods, they've been found to alter microbiome compositions, elevate fasting blood glucose, cause hyperphagia, increase weight gain, and adiposity and induce. All right, there's it wasn't good, right? The human trials linked to ultra processed and high GMO foods have been linked to decreased satiety, so decreased fullness, increased meal eating rates, and worsened biochemical markers, including inflammation, cholesterol, and more weight gain, right? So they're literally. You know, when I say they, I guess I'm talking about the royal they, right? But like we have chemicals being pumped into our food that are making us less full and want to make us want to eat at a more rapid rate, right? You know, it's funny. I was tell, you know, I've been on a health kick lately, just trying to my best to lose weight, get in some good shape. And one of the things we always talked about is as kids, you know, like growing up, you know, in a very middle class family, it was always sit down and, you know, eat everything. You know, they're starving kids in China. So eat, you know, finish everything on your plate. Yeah. That was the way it went. Yeah. You know, so like that in and of itself screwed up my portion control from a very young age, right? Because I was just taught like, hey, if it's put in front of me, you got to eat it, right? And now we have stuff being pumped into our food that's even increasing that, you know. So for me, that was a big thing is like, you know, because I notice now that my diet has cleaned up a little bit. I'm not GMO free by any means, but now that it has cleaned up a little bit, when I do eat ultra processed foods, I feel crappy. It's straight up. I do not feel well. My energy level is lacking. I feel very, very sluggish, you know, so very eye-opening. I think, you know, Sean and Bill, you had some great points, but yeah, that's what I took out of it.
So the 2 a.m. Taco Bell after Dave, those don't make you feel too good. Yeah, they don't make you feel too good though, but you take what, you know, give and take.
Do it.
It's a give and take. I get it.
There's a very important point you made in there, which was if you're going to eat like shit or even not, but if you're going to eat like shit, should supplement fiber. Because a lot of people develop this intolerance where they can't digest food from processed food. I forget the specific name, and I don't want to say the wrong name. Me being one of them, I know this from research. But when I supplement fiber, I digest the food correctly where my brain goes, oh, you're actually eating food right now, you dumb.
So, yeah.
It's my crazy thing.
My mom says, stay away from the middle aisles at the grocery store.
That's right. Danger zone.
That's the simplest way to do it. If you think about it, it's where all the processed foods are.
I never thought about that.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yep.
Definitely.
Corey, did you want to add anything to this? Or
Yeah. I did a ton of research and you guys left me no time. But
That's a lie, but okay, go ahead.
I'm just kidding. I don't have much to say at all. But I will say that,
back
you
to
know,
you, Sean. No, I'm just kidding.
Pretty much. Once again, we are talking, we actually had a theme the past few weeks, if we notice, it's rich assholes that are screwing us over some way or another.
Yes.
Whatever. I'm not against anybody in America getting rich. I'd love to get rich. Trying, actually. It's a slow process, but I'm trying. But I hope I don't do it at the expense of thousands.
Right.
That's millions. One thing I don't want. Millions, yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing, you? The other thing I'll say, well, I
he's like
I hope
he's
not.
Like Dr. Evil, $1 million.
I'm actually thinking about opening up a treatment center next week. So stay tuned for that.
Just do it in Port St. Lucie.
I will. I can't legally do it here anyway. The other thing I'll say real quick is I as well, Greg, I am also paying a lot of attention to what I eat these days and looking into my health. But no, as fascinating as all this stuff was, I am not going out of my way to clean up that much. I will buy the cheapest spinach I can find. Basically, if you're the cheapest vegetable, chicken, or brown rice I can find, you're bought. I'm eating you. That's it. I don't give a shit what you sprayed on it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I got too many other things to do. What about a steak?
Like, would you, is that the same theme for the steak?
The most lean steak.
Lowest priced steak or what?
No, but
You got to spend a little bit on the steak.
I made that mistake at a Denny's once. It was a fateful evening.
Yeah, it's true.
Well documented on this pod, actually, I think.
Right? Yeah. So that's
I buy all my meat from a different place than I buy like my regular, like just household items. My meat and my produce are bought at different locations.
Where do you buy your
undisclosed
meat?
Locations?
Where do you get the meat? You need to disclose the meat.
Well, one thing.
Well,
one
Publix
thing
is
say,
great.
Yeah,
but like Sprouts or those like I can't even think of the name of it, but the one over there by the old Planet Fitness, Supreme Meats or whatever.
Supreme
like those
Meats,
guys,
yeah.
Like butcher shops is really what yes. you really what you want to do.
Butcher Ooh. Shops.
Problem is Supreme markets, Meats.
If you got a
Publix
farmer's
is good
market.
Though.
Yeah, yeah. Problem is though, it's so expensive. Market. You know, some of this stuff, it's it hard.
Is.
You know,
yeah,
it is.
But I will agree.
I
feel
don't even
better.
Trust all the organic stuff, like Bill was saying. Like I truly don't. But if you want to get, if like the safest way, I think, and again, we want to wrap this segment up. I imagine, but the safest way is little like fruit stands, like those actual farmers market fruit stands, is to get your produce and stuff. I'm not saying they're all GMO free or perfectly healthy or organic, but you have a way better chance of having, you know, all natural stuff at those little places than you do going to any conglomerate grocery store.
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, Sean, but I believe that until recently, and like they probably just buy the secondhand stuff from the same people, like if you think about it, right?
I mean, maybe. I mean,
because it looks maybe. The same, like it's the same brands that, like, you know, like the one on the undisclosed yeah. road that we drive down.
There's a handful of them. Like I said, it's not a definitely yeah. you're avoiding it. I think you have a better chance of it. We also have to, I think we got to come up with a different term than going down the rabbit hole, because we say that so often on this podcast.
We should name a segment.
We do.
Maybe. We should, yeah.
Gabby's got a garden in the backyard now, so, and there's no GMOs here. So,
nice. So does my wife.
Yeah. So I'm not going to buy shit from anywhere soon.
But dude, my wife does too, Corey, and it's like enough for to feed us for a week, and it's like so much work, you know. Like I don't know.
All we have is a bunch of spices so far, lots of basil.
You'll be back at the store. Basil's great though.
Fresh basil.
Mole. All right, let's moving on. That was good. That was good, guys. We should.
Is done.
We like this kind of conspiracy. Corporate stuff. We'll probably visit these topics a little more often in the near future. I don't know. Who knows? Bill might have one up his sleeve for next week. So we're going to go into our recovery/better living segment/on the beam segment. Today we're talking, and listen, guys, I know it's rare. I know it doesn't happen very often. He's usually just, you know, yelling at people, but our good boy Corey actually came up with this topic, something he's been cooking on for a while. It's called spiritual anonymity. I'll let him try to describe it to you. And then it's kind of branched off to a few different conversations. But Corey, I'll kick it over to you. Go ahead and talk about some spiritual anonymity, and we'll give everybody a chance.
Well, that's not what the rundown says, Sean, but okay. I'll go. No, I figured you would. All right. So this week on Trudge Report, which is what I said last time, you guys had to give me the reins. Yeah, I wanted to talk about spiritual anonymity and what I think that means. I don't know if it's an actual phrase or not. It's probably, I think we coined it, to be honest, right here on Trudge Report. But to me, it's where should I remain anonymous as far as my recovery goes? Where should I not broadcast that I'm X amount of years sober or what have you, or all the things that we do in recovery? Because honestly, I'll, for the sake of the discussion here, I'll kind of blow our spot here as members of recovery. Like, we try to do our best to help people, you know, get and stay sober and reach better lives and live better lives and what have you. My point is, we do a lot of good, I think. I hope we do anyway. I think we all hope that we make some sort of difference in somebody's lives. And I'm pretty sure that we've all personally had the experience of, you know, helping somebody change their lives. So, like, with that said, you know, I guess this is the discussion that I want to have with you guys. Specifically, I'll be specific about it. For years, I've had many discussions with many people about talking about sobriety on social media or throwing up an anniversary post when my anniversary comes around or whatever. That's usually the main one that I get on about, you know. But I used to post far too much about sobriety on Facebook. And I want to say around a year sober, somebody kind of took me aside and was like, listen, you know, it's not technically like a bad thing to do, but you know, you want to leave A, B, and C out of it. And, you know, kind of think about like what's your motive in doing it. Right. And, after asking myself those questions, I don't think I've posted about sobriety in, I don't know, I guess 6-7 years, maybe. That being said, I've had plenty of, like I said, discussions/even arguments with people about it. And there is a valid side of the fence that says like good can come from that. And I think we'll get into that stuff. But for me, for this person right here, I know that posting about I always, like, my best example is my anniversary. Like, when my sobriety anniversary comes up, you know, I haven't made a post about it in many years. The reason I don't do that is because I personally am far too egotistical to do so. I will go back to that post, and I will check how many likes it has. I will check who commented on it. I will read every comment. I will respond to the comments. I will blow myself up and be like, look how great I'm doing and look how proud everybody is of me. And you know what? And that's fine. Like, to a degree, that's fine. I know that, like, my sister, my dad, my mom, I know they're all proud of me. We have those discussions in private. Some of them even, I think my sister remembers my anniversary. My parents have long since forgotten, but that's fine. I know they're proud of me and we have those discussions and it feels great. Honestly, it does. I just don't need to go out seeking it. That's my thing. I've come to a point where in my own life that I don't necessarily need to break everybody down that does post about it. I have close friends that post about it. I don't think that they're out there necessarily, you know, all in it for themselves. I do think that they want to be an example of recovery and what life can do for you in recovery. I do think that there's an altruistic side to it. So, like, it's not all bad. I haven't found a way to be that person, I don't think. And lastly, I'll say that the reason this comes up is because after all these years of not posting about sobriety on Facebook and stuff like that, I'm on a podcast talking about recovery. So that was interesting. I will say this, in, I guess, in my defense, not that I don't really feel the need to defend it, but I will say that we all know this, but just for the pod, in our one of our first planning meetings with our producer, that was suggested to us. We had no, I don't think anyway, I didn't have any ambitions of being on a recovery podcast. It was probably the last thing I wanted to do, actually. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I've kind of let go of my feelings about that. I don't think you're going to see an anniversary post from me still this year, but I do hope that what we say on this podcast, certainly doesn't harm anybody, and I hope it helps somebody. But, you know, so anyway, I wanted to acknowledge you know, from the outside looking in, it's a bit hypocritical, but it was just kind of suggested to us because we all share that. And you know, that's that. So basically, that's the conversation I posed to you guys. So I'd like to hear what everybody thinks about it.
Good stuff. That was well said, Corey, and I appreciate the topic. I think it's an important topic. We'll go to Greg next.
Thank you very much, Corey. I appreciate what you had to say. And it is a slippery topic, I guess you could say, man, because it does go both ways for sure. I belong to a recovery fellowship that, you know, takes those kind of things seriously, you know, so you do have to be kind of careful about it. One thing I will say is, number one, again, what this podcast has evolved into, you know, I couldn't be more pleased with it. I think that we have a real nice balance of having fun and goofing off and talking about conspiracies and top fives and everything under the sun, and then, you know, bringing it around and having a little bit of levity and you know, talk about some real stuff going on towards the end. So I think that, you know, what we're doing here is good. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't like to, for lack of a better term, I don't like to jerk myself off with recovery posts online and whatnot, but I do make the anniversary post on a yearly basis. There are people that are on social media, on Facebook, that know that I'm recovered, and I like it that way. You know, I like it that way. I used to work in the treatment industry. I don't anymore. And I don't have a crystal ball here, but I don't think I ever will again. It just wasn't for me. However, one thing I will say is, there's a lot of people that I met through that industry, former clients, former people who are struggling, who reach out. You know, there's people that I grew up with that, you know, see little bits of this podcast pop up, or they see, you know, little stuff that I'm posting. They reach out. Hey, man, I'm struggling. I'm really going through this, that, and the other. Sometimes they don't want my help. Sometimes they just want somebody that's been through the same kind of stuff to listen to them and make them feel heard, or maybe help make them feel human, you know, and I'm here for it, you know? So, to me, it is, like I said, I have to be careful, because especially with people who aren't in recovery, or, people that I think, or my ego thinks that might need my help, you know, I gotta be careful. I know that I have had a tendency at times to come off almost preachy about it. Certainly not my goal. Certainly not what I'd ever want to do. A lot of times, the preachiness is just because I'm fired up. I love recovery. I love the principles of recovery, and I love trying to incorporate that stuff into my life. So I do get jazzed up about it, but you know, I really have to be careful about trying to put my viewpoint and everything else onto someone else, you know, and a lot of times I got to sit back and just listen, and that's a good exercise for me. But yeah, I think that you can do it in a way that is, you know, like I said, classy, has a little bit of levity, and really do it to help other people, and not in an egotistical way. You know, I just had my anniversary, and I meant what I put on my little post, which was just, I am full of humility and gratitude. And that's it, man. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be with you boys. Can't wait to see you guys all live and in the flesh next week. It's going to be fun episode.
Amen.
And yeah, that's all I got.
I will say real quick, Greg, I will compliment. I do like the way that you post about it. I do appreciate. We see plenty of people that do want to, quote unquote, jerk themselves off, and you are not one. I do appreciate that.
Well, and again, not to double dip here, I mentioned it the other day, is like that I kind of feel uncomfortable sometimes when people, especially, like, you know, I love my family, I love my friends and everything like that. When people congratulate me on that, I don't know how to feel, because deep down I know, like, I am not capable of getting recovered and staying recovered on my own. I don't do any of that. So I have to be very careful about taking credit for that.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
I don't want to jerk you off either, Greg. Go ahead, Deluxe.
Yeah, I like the yin and the yang here because I understand Corey's perspective on it, and I understand Greg's. They're pretty similar, but there are some differences. For me, I had to remove myself from the judgment of what somebody's posting online because they're not mine to judge. You know what I mean? And like I used to sit, I had a journal and I used to sit around and write things about this and this would piss me off. And I had to let it all go because there's always going to be a difference. So I'll say what Greg was saying. When someone thanks me about, you know, in my family that saw me from the worst now sees me and says, that's awesome. Great job. Like, I take it like a compliment, like, cause we are all worthy of that. And it is hard individual work done through a community and then a higher power. There's no hard rule on this, and times have definitely changed. The guideline and the reason why that this is even a discussion for people who aren't informed is individualism of what we do. When someone is represented as an individual and they come and they say, I represent this, and it is such a grace that we operate in, right? And you come and you become this beacon or this symbol of this certain group, right? And then you falter, right? And then, well, what happened with him? You know what I mean? Because everyone in this podcast here knows that could happen to any of us. You know what I mean? That's why I don't want to represent the community. I don't want to be that person. I don't personally try to think about it. I try not to even get too revved up personally about my own anniversary. I try to just think about, this is just another day. You know what I mean? Like, please let me try to be helpful to somebody today. It is really hard though, because there is a school of thought the complete other way. But the biggest grace for me has to been able to really change that, like, judgment of when people put that stuff or say that stuff, or they go, I have 17,000 minutes and this many. And then, you know, you have other people that are, you know, the pepper of I've been here a long, you know, and the opposite that I used to judge both ways. You know what I mean? So when I eliminated the judgment and said, who they're not mine to judge, for me, like, that's where I had to live in. But also, I think my important point for me personally is, like, I don't like to, like, the thing I need to be on top of these days is, like, broadcasting someone else's recovery or saying this person's in recovery or putting that person in a status of recovery. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's their own recovery. You know what I mean? That's their own determination. I can't be like, oh, you know, this person, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're all just operating in grace out of here, but you know, it's a touchy subject, you know what I mean? And it's just one of those things that, I have to be careful of for myself. You know, when I can just focus on myself more and others less, I do better. That's just me. So, and then if I can also continue to be open and honest with you guys and love you guys, and you guys can love me enough to tell me when I'm out of place and effing up, that's even better, you know? And then the other days too, whenever I can have a contact with God, those are the great days. Those are the days I'm here for. So that's it for me, man. I love all you guys.
Very well said. This is, I'm really enjoying this conversation, to be honest with you. We could take this offline. To sum up, to wrap up, I've had a few thoughts on this, and I admittedly may not be the absolute best person to talk about social media anonymity and all that, because I, as you guys know, I don't have any. It's not even that I'm against it. Like, I've just never truly had a desire to have it. It goes back to our very first episode about the MySpace that I once had. I've never had any kind of social media at all, like legitimately at all, except for that MySpace that I never actually logged onto. And I've never had a desire to. So for me, it's been very easy not even to get into those waters, not even to get into those murky waters. Corey, I've fully understand, and you and I have had many talks on this over the years. As a matter of fact, I've talked to all of you about this over the years, but I know Corey and I have. And Greg, I understand your point, and I've, you know, my wife will mention to me when she sees a post from you like that, and it is very tasteful. And I think you do a splendid job of, like, not sounding like a pompous asshole, right? Which all four of us and once many of our friends can come off that way. So a couple thoughts I had on it is that if I'm doing any of that stuff for self-recognition, then it's probably something that I don't need to do. It's very difficult, though, in the arenas that we all run and walk in, is that people, our friends, we lie to ourselves all the time. We convince ourselves that something is a certain way when to everyone else around us, it's not. So it is something that I have to be thoroughly careful of. I need to take it to the God of my understanding and pray about it and meditate on it. I also probably need to take it to a few people, just a couple, one or two, three at the most, of people that I trust, admire, and respect. And I admire and respect their opinions, and run it by them and check myself, say, hey, I'm thinking about doing something like this. And I'm not saying like every time you want to post something on your anniversary, you have to run it by three people. But my, in general, right, I should have a few people, my go-to people that I talk to that give solid advice. And you know, ultimately, I need to take it to my higher power. I think this goes into the category of like doing things for people and not seeking the recognition for it. Like Bill kind of said, like, I just want to like do something for somebody else. I don't need people to know about it. As a matter of fact, I get, you know, rewarded on the back end more when people don't really know about it. And I'm just doing good to put good things in the world. I will say that years ago, a good friend of mine who also never had social media acquired one, and he's been sober a little longer than I have, and he got on it and he was able to make a handful of amends that he maybe otherwise would not have been able to make had he not ever got on social media. So I do recognize and can acknowledge that there may be some benefit to that kind of stuff when it comes to, you know, making amends and, you know, trying to set right the wrongs we made in the past. I think there's a lot of one of the things I heard years ago, excuse me, that is so appropriate today still, is that, and I don't really know how to use, I'm not going to use the term, but mentor, we'll use the term mentorship. And I think you guys understand what I'm talking about, the word that I really want to use. All the problems of our fellowships can be solved by good mentorship. And so many people, they're physically sober and their lives are way better than they used to be. And they're not complete scumbags like they used to be. They've improved. Maybe they're not even scumbags at all, but there's a lack of education. And what I mean, spiritual education, that four of us have pretty much received, you know. So this person is blowing their anonymity and blowing other people's anonymity and doing all that stuff on social media because the people that have taught them are doing the same thing, right? 100%. So that's a big thing. If we can teach the next, I don't want to say next generation, it makes it sound old, but like the people that we try to help, if we can show them the correct and the righteous, the truly righteous path, not the righteous, but the truly, you know, godly path, then I think we'll all be okay. And I'm going to close with just a quick little, this is from one of our recovery textbooks. And it says that we believe that the principle of anonymity has immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, and it's spiritual principles before my own personality, not necessarily yours, but I need to place spiritual principles before my own opinions, thoughts, and attitudes, especially of my judgment of others, that we are to actually practice a genuine humility, this to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him, capital H, meaning God, who presides over us all. So essentially, if I can keep God first and foremost and know that everything good in my life is God-given and therefore good, and everything bad in my life or whatever in my life is me trying to run the show and my own ego and all that stuff getting in the way, if I can remember that it's all because of God, from physical to emotional to spiritual, then I should be all right. So,
Sean.
Corey.
Very nicely said. And I know we're wrapping up here in a minute, but I want to say that, wait, you said something that, it's basically like it goes along with what I was saying in the first place, but it made me think, like, I have some friends that have had anniversaries like around mine, and you know, I can remember times when they've posted about you know, I got X amount of years today, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, God, and all the stuff. I can remember like feeling literally in my whole core here being like, oh, I want to do that. like I want to post about it. And that's why I look at that and I go, this ain't the year, because I want to too much. I will also say, I'm not going to mention a name here because it would be bad of me to do so. I won't even tell you guys who offline. I can't do it. I won't even do it offline. But not that long ago, I was talking to a buddy, and somebody had posted about their anniversary and, you know, same spiel. And, you know, the number of likes was like minimal. Number of likes on that post was minimal. And the guy goes, I'm going to smoke 100 likes or some shit like that. And I was like, that's why we don't do that. But the moral of the story, like we've already covered, if you can manage to do so without that trash in your head, have at it, help somebody. That's great.
Yeah.
And real quick, if you are the guy posting that or whatever, if you're out posting for yourself, we still love you. You know what I mean? It's no mm-hmm. judgment. It is what it is.
100%.
You're still eyeing up their like count. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, we're not healed. I look at the post and go, it might feel nice. You know what I mean? I'm a human too. But we have the good mentorship guideline of a core principle at heart. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you are that person, there's some pain involved in being that person. So we love you anyway.
I'm going to post about your anniversaries.
Go ahead.
All of you.
Hey, real quick, if you're posting that you're 35 days sober, I'm proud of you. Keep going.
I didn't mean anniversaries because I don't really care about that. But I'm also the guy from rehab used to say, my name is Bill, and in 30 days, I'll have 30 days.
I used to post my month count every month. It would be, I got 5 months, 6 months, all this stuff. And when, like, I'll do the same thing to a new guy. I'll be like,
stop last week, Sean.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah, stop. Yeah, I'll be like, I'm so proud of you. But dude, honestly, every time I did that, I did it in several stints of sobriety and always relapsed. Like, that was right. I didn't do that shit this time. I'm just saying, until I got to like, you know, a year, and then I.
Papa Ron set me straight on that whole monthly chip thing pretty quick.
Yeah.
Boys, this was fantastic. This was fantastic. I got to go change the direction of my sprinkler, so we got to wrap up.
Oh, that's important shit right there. Wet.
Shout out to the listeners. Please like, follow, and share on all socials at Trudge Report Pod. Email us, trudgereportpod@yahoo.com. We love doing this. We love to hear your requests, your comments, your concerns. Future topics, whatever you got, throw it in there. Remember, we are all here if anyone wants to talk about recovery and our experiences, or if you are struggling with some form of addiction. Thank you again to Miss Janine Stella and Stella Mix Podcast Management. Good night. God bless. And may you trudge the road of happy destiny. We will see you next week. Auf Wiedersehen, which is German for goodbye.